You size a stop for a normal Tuesday, right? You're trading the E-mini S&P, the ES, or maybe the NASDAQ, the
Yeah,
NQ.
standard setup.
Exactly. You set your standard risk parameters, say, I don't know, a 15-point stop on the NQ, because, well, that's what worked perfectly yesterday.
Right.
Then the cash open hits, and the market turns into an absolute runaway trend. It stops you out three times in a row before it finally moves in your anticipated direction.
Or the exact opposite happens.
Yeah, conversely, you size your position and your targets for this massive breakout.
Yeah.
You widen the stop, you set a profit target 80 points away, and the market does absolutely nothing.
Just total chop.
It gives back the entire day to chop. And if you're trading options, you just bleed out in theta, that relentless time decay that, chews up your premium while price just drifts sideways.
Yeah, and if you're in futures, it's just a series of small, frustrating paper cuts all day.
Right. And both of these scenarios stem from the exact same underlying error. You are trading today's market using yesterday's volatility assumptions.
Exactly. You're applying a static risk model to a completely dynamic volatility environment.
Which is deadly. So to solve this, we are dissecting the mechanics of the vol regime HUD. This is a tool designed to live directly in an order flow suite right alongside your footprint charts and your cumulative volume delta, your CVD.
But it operates on a radically different premise.
Totally different. It measures bar range and volume. It explicitly does not measure aggressive buying versus aggressive selling. It's a volatility context dashboard, period.
And that is the critical distinction we have to establish immediately, if we're going to understand this logically.
Right.
Because when seasoned practitioners look at an order flow suite, they are deeply conditioned to look for the which way.
Yeah, they want the direction.
Right. They're looking at delta, they're tracking order book imbalances, hunting for directional aggression from large participants. But the analytical framework for vol regime completely discards that expectation.
It's not about direction at all.
No. The sole mission of this tool is to answer two specific mathematical questions: how big and how likely.
That's it.
It leaves the which way entirely to directional tools like volume-weighted average price, VWAP, or the footprint. If you try to force a volatility dashboard to give you a directional signal, you're going to get chopped to pieces.
You're just asking it the wrong question.
Exactly. You have to intellectually separate the environment you're trading in from the directional trigger you use to actually enter the market.
But before we break down the specific math powering the HUD, I mean, I think we have to talk about the rigorous testing environment it was born from.
Oh, absolutely.
Because the out-of-sample reality check behind this completely shatters a lot of common order flow assumptions. Like, let's look at what actually happens when quantitative developers try to force the specific type of bar range and volume data to predict market direction.
The blunt truth is that an exhaustive search for mechanical directional edge based purely on this specific intraday volatility data, it completely failed.
Wow, complete failure.
Yeah. Developers ran the out-of-sample testing, meaning, they tested models on fresh data that the algorithms had never seen before, and they looked for predictive directional modeling.
Right, they wanted to know if a specific sequence of range expansions meant price was going up or down.
Exactly. And the edge simply was not there. The distribution of outcomes was basically a coin flip.
Because intraday direction is just too noisy.
Market direction at the intraday level is incredibly noisy. Trying to derive a directional bias from pure bar range compression or expansion is a statistically losing game.
But something did survive that testing, right? I mean, they didn't just throw all the data out.
No, exactly. While the directional edge failed, one phenomenon survived the out-of-sample reality check with massive statistical significance, and that is volatility persistence.
Volatility persistence.
Right. Active markets tend to stay active. Quiet markets tend to stay quiet.
Which makes intuitive sense, right?
It does. It's a known quantitative concept in macro finance, sometimes referred to as volatility clustering. You see it on daily charts all the time. Large daily ranges cluster together, small daily ranges cluster together.
But seeing it proven out on granular intraday futures data, ticking second by second, is fundamentally different from reading about it in a textbook.
Exactly. Vol regime puts that one proven phenomenon directly on a chart. It doesn't pretend to know more than it does.
It identifies the current volatility state because the data proves that whatever the current state is, it's highly likely to persist for the immediate future. But let me challenge that from a strict practitioner standpoint.
Sure, go ahead.
If I'm trading the NQ open, or maybe I'm managing a zero DTE position, You know, those 0 days to expiration options contracts where literally every minute matters. Screen real estate is my most valuable asset.
Yep, every pixel counts.
Every square inch of my monitor needs to earn its keep. If a tool has absolutely zero directional edge, why am I dedicating prime chart real estate to it in a fast-moving session?
Because you cannot rely on a single analytical lens for both magnitude and direction. And getting the magnitude wrong will blow out your account just as fast as getting the direction wrong.
Right, getting stopped out on a winner.
Exactly. You use Vol Regime to dictate your risk sizing, your stop placement, and your profit targets. You use it to define the structural geometry of the trade.
The structural geometry. Okay, unpack that.
Think about the mechanics of order execution. If you're entering a trade using CVD divergence, where price is making a new low, but the cumulative volume delta is showing aggressive buying, that tells you the direction is likely up.
Right, you have directional conviction.
But if you do not know the volatility regime, you have no mathematical basis for where to put your stop.
Ah, I see.
If you use a tight, static stop in an expanding, highly volatile regime, you're just providing liquidity to algorithmic players.
They'll just run your tight stop, take your position, and then the market proceeds straight to your target.
Exactly. You must separate magnitude from direction. Yeah. Prime real estate is dedicated to Vol Regime because knowing the environment dictates the literal survival of the position.
That makes perfect sense. The environment dictates the parameters, which brings us directly to the mechanics of how we actually define that environment intraday.
Right.
Knowing that volatility persists is only useful if we have a strict, objective, mathematical definition of the current state of the market, right? To categorize that persistence.
Exactly. We need hard numbers.
So how does the math actually flag when the market transitions from one state to another?
The core mechanism driving this is a simple but really robust compression ratio. We are constantly comparing a recent window of bar ranges against a longer baseline window.
Okay, so what are the default windows?
By default, the recent window looks at the last 30 minutes of price action.
So fast enough to catch an intraday shift in participation, but slow enough to ignore, like, a single rogue one-minute candle.
Precisely. And the longer baseline window looks at the last 180 minutes, which gives you a solid half session of structural context.
Got it.
So you divide the recent 30-minute range by the baseline 180-minute range, and that quotient gives you the compression ratio.
And based on this continuous calculation, we establish three strict mathematical states, right? Expansion, quiet, and normal.
That's right.
Let's define the exact thresholds for those states so we know exactly what we're looking at. If that 30-minute versus 180-minute ratio crosses above 1.30 and it holds there for a couple of confirming bars just to filter out the noise, the regime flips to expansion.
Yep.
Essentially, the recent price action is covering 30% more ground per unit of time than the historical baseline.
Exactly.
And if that ratio drops below 0.80, it flips to quiet. The market is contracting. Ranges are shrinking by 20% or more compared to the baseline.
Right. Things are cooling off.
And naturally, anything floating in the middle between 0.80 and 1.30 is classified as normal.
Correct. And there's a crucial structural advantage to how the HUD calculates this.
What's that?
These windows are configured in absolute minutes, 30 minutes and 180 minutes, but the engine dynamically converts them to bars based on the specific chart interval you're currently viewing.
Meaning the underlying condition reads exactly the same, whether you're looking at a 5-minute ES chart to map out your broader structural levels or a 1-minute NQ chart for precision scalping.
Yes.
The regime reading is perfectly time consistent across time frames.
And that time consistency is absolutely vital for a practitioner. It prevents time frame dissonance.
Time frame dissonance. Yeah, that's that psychological trap where traders start second guessing their setups because the 1-minute trend looks completely different from the 5-minute trend.
Exactly. By rooting the calculation in absolute time, the regime is the regime, regardless of your zoom level. It anchors your perspective.
But this brings us to a trap, and I really want to unpack this because it catches so many traders.
Yeah, let's hear it.
When order flow traders, especially those who are transitioning from like retail swing trading into intraday futures, when they see a tight expansion to quiet transition, you know, when they see that ratio drop aggressively below 0.80, they instinctively read it as a squeeze setup.
Oh, yeah. Constantly.
They look at that tight consolidation on the chart and immediately assume the market is coiling like a spring for a massive breakout. They start positioning for the explosion. Does the data actually support that behavior?
We have to dismantle that assumption entirely. the quantitative testing explicitly disproved the squeeze-then-pop narrative on this specific data set.
Quiet just means quiet.
Quiet means quiet. And because of the volatility persistence we discussed earlier, quiet persists. Expecting an imminent breakout simply because you have a position. Quiet reading is trading a retail myth.
It's not trading the data.
It is not trading the data at all. A quiet regime mathematically tells you that the market is highly likely to remain in a narrow, choppy, mean reverting range.
It's not winding up a spring.
No, it's simply lacking the institutional participation or the macroeconomic catalyst required to expand. If you trade a quiet regime expecting an immediate expansion, you will get chopped out repeatedly as the market just drifts.
So what do?
You wait for the mathematical calculation to actually flip to expansion before you size for a breakout. You do not front run the data.
Okay, so the intraday regime classifies the current state quiet, normal, or expansion. But once a professional trader knows the state, they immediately need to quantify it.
Right.
Knowing its expansion is a start, but we need the hard math, right? Exactly how big of a point move are we sizing for, and is today's volume actually supporting that move? How do we map the regime to the price axis?
This is where the forecast range is calculated.
Okay.
The forecast range projects the expected statistical range for the next hour, or whatever custom time horizon you define in your parameters. And it does this utilizing a square root of time scaling of the recent bar range.
Let's pause on that, because that is a dense concept. Why does it scale with the square root of time? Why doesn't it just scale linearly? Like, if the range is 10 points in 1 hour, why isn't it 20 points in 2 hours?
Because markets do not move in straight lines. They operate on principles similar to a random walk or diffusion.
Okay.
If price moves straight up without ever ticking down, it would be linear. But because price zigzags, you know, constantly reverting and exploring, the distance it covers from the origin does not grow linearly with time.
It grows with the square root of time.
Exactly. If you quadruple the time, you don't quadruple the expected range. You only double it.
Which is a fundamental quantitative finance concept,
right?
Used in options pricing and risk models.
Exactly. The HUD applies this scaling using a single global constant. It is not curve fitted to a specific instrument.
So it doesn't have optimized, heavily tweaked variables for NQ and different optimized variables for ES.
Oh, it relies strictly on the raw, universal mathematical scaling of the observed recent range.
You know, I like to think of this statistically almost like a weather forecast's expected rainfall.
That's a good way to look at it.
If the meteorological forecast says we're getting 2 inches of rain today, you know you need a heavy-duty umbrella and waterproof boots. You don't know the exact minute the rain will peak, and it might ultimately rain 1.8 inches or maybe 2.2 inches, but the forecast is highly useful for choosing the right equipment.
Which, translated to trading terms, is your position size and your stop distance.
Exactly. But it is absolutely useless as a tick-for-tick guarantee of where price will terminate. What the forecast range actually validates is rank order.
Right.
A mathematically larger regime reading realistically yields a wider forecast range. A smaller reading yields a tighter range.
Exactly. It gives you the proper order of magnitude. If the forecast range is currently projecting 40 points of movement on the NQ for the next hour, and you are entering a trade aiming for a 100-point profit target, in that same hour.
Your expectations are completely misaligned with the current mathematical reality of the market.
Yes, you are demanding a magnitude of movement from the market that it is not currently capable of giving.
And to validate that intraday reading to ensure it has real weight behind it, we have the secondary metric, right? The day activity badge.
Yes.
This looks at the morning volume in the first hour after the New York cash open and compares it to a trailing median. But it does not just compare today's volume to yesterday's volume.
No, it doesn't.
It compares it strictly to the trailing median of the exact same weekday. Why is that specific level of filtering necessary? Like, why not just compare a Tuesday morning open to a Monday afternoon close?
Because comparing a Monday morning NQ open to a Friday afternoon close introduces completely useless, destructive noise into your data baseline.
Right.
Futures and options markets possess real, undeniable day-of-week seasonality. Think about the mechanics of the market. Friday afternoons have entirely different institutional flows.
Oh, absolutely. Heavy option expiry dynamics.
Exactly. Zero DTE positioning heavily skews late Friday action as dealers hedge gamma. You have traders flattening their books going into weekend risk.
Compare that to a Monday morning when fresh capital is being deployed for the week and institutions are reacting to weekend news. They are completely different environments.
Wednesdays have their own structural behaviors too, often tied to scheduled macroeconomic data releases like FOMC or CPI.
So if you mix the weekdays in your baseline, you destroy the integrity of the comparison.
Mondays must be judged strictly against other Mondays. By comparing today's first hour of volume to the trailing median of the same weekday, you are asking the only question that matters. Is today actually behaving differently from a typical day of this exact structural type?
And that requires a data gathering period, right?
Yes, it requires a minimum 3-session building phase.
Meaning you need 2 to 3 weeks of historical data for that specific weekday before the badge gives a live reading.
Right. It will honestly report building on the HUD until it has enough statistical weight to make a valid comparison. Right. It does not guess.
So we have the regime identified as expansion, normal, or quiet. We have the forecast range quantifying the expected magnitude mathematically. We have the day activity badge confirming the underlying volume context.
That's a lot of data.
It is. And all of these separate elements must be synthesized into actionable chart geometry. You have to translate all this math into a strict daily risk management protocol on the actual price axis before you ever place a trade.
Exactly.
Which brings us to the session envelope. How does that map onto the chart?
The session expected reach envelope takes this data and physically bands price around the session open.
Yeah.
It uses the median realized range of prior complete sessions to draw these bands above and below the opening price. And it can be optionally modified by the day badge reading.
So it gives you a clear visual representation of typical historical reach directly overlaid on your current price action.
Exactly.
Now, when I look at these session envelope bands on a chart, especially coming from a retail background, where you see a band and you immediately want to fade it, my first instinct is to use the upper or lower boundary as a target to short or go long.
You want to assume price hits the band and must revert to the mean.
Right. Is that how a practitioner should be using them?
Absolutely not. That is a hard stop. You do not, under any circumstances, trade the session expected reach envelope as a take profit target or a hard reversal level.
Wow. Okay.
The session envelope is a span statistic. It is there purely for sanity checking your expectations. On a meaningful fraction of trading days, price will touch that envelope or push aggressively right through it, especially when the intraday regime is reading expansion.
So if you use it as a hard reversal level and step in front of a move, you will just get run over by a directional trend day.
You will. What you use it for is checking your own trade geometry. If your profit target sits way outside this envelope, it mathematically means you are sizing your trade for a rare historical outlier day.
You use the envelope to check your expectations, not to place your resting limit orders.
Precisely.
This perfectly illustrates why a professional morning routine isn't just opening the platform and firing off trades. You don't just stare at the DOM, the depth of market, you know, watching those limit orders flash by on the ladder and start clicking buttons.
No, you have to synthesize the environment first.
So how does this sequence actually flow for a practitioner sitting down at the desk?
It is a strict sequential checklist.
Right.
Step one, you check the intraday regime.
Right.
If the ratio reads expansion, you immediately adjust your parameters. You widen your stops and you extend your profit targets because you expect real, sustained follow-through room.
And if the regime reads quiet, you do the exact opposite. You shrink your targets, tighten your risk parameters, and expect mean reverting two-way chop.
Exactly. And if it's normal, you proceed with standard baseline adjustments.
Got it. And then you cross-check that with the broader context to the day badge. If I have an active day badge showing heavy relative volume, and it is paired with an expansion intraday regime, that synthesis is my strongest possible signal to expect a big directional trend day.
That is the environment where you hold for larger structural targets.
Conversely, if I have a quiet day badge paired with a quiet intraday regime, that is the clearest, most objective signal the market can give you to simply sit on your hands.
Capital preservation becomes the only goal.
Right.
Then, step three is glancing at that session envelope we just discussed. You check the physical chart geometry to sanity check whether your target reach is actually realistic based on the first two steps.
Only then do we bring in the directional bias.
Yes. Step four is where you finally consult your directional order flow tools. Only after you have firmly established the volatility context do you look for entry triggers.
So you look at VWAP to gauge institutional average price. You check the footprint chart for trapped traders. You look at the POC. Just to ground that in the chart geometry for a second, when we say POC, the point of control, We're looking at the exact price level where the most volume executed for the session.
Right.
And the value area high or low, the VAH and VAL, those are the upper and lower boundaries where 70% of the day's total volume took place.
Yeah.
So you're using those specific structural levels along with CVD divergence to actually determine direction.
Right.
Precisely. The structural levels and the delta tools give you the where and the which way. They're your entry triggers.
Hmm.
But the Vol regime is already giving you the how big.
Which leads directly to step 5, the final mandatory step before execution. You size your risk to the forecast range.
You must completely abandon the concept of fixed tick count stops.
Right, like a fixed 10 tick stop might be perfectly comfortable on a quiet day, providing plenty of breathing room for the trade to develop.
But that exact same 10 tick stop on an expansion day is just free liquidity for algorithmic market makers.
Yep.
It is much too tight for the mathematical environment.
You have to size the stop dynamically based on the forecast range the HUD is actively printing.
That brings us to the core philosophy behind all of this. If you are going to survive in these markets, you have to mature past the retail mindset.
Right.
The ultimate mark of maturity in futures trading is completely decoupling your expectation of volatility magnitude from your directional bias.
Amateurs want one single magical indicator to tell them everything. When to buy, how much to buy, and exactly where to sell.
And professionals understand that the market is a vastly complex system requiring distinct, specialized analytical lenses.
Exactly.
The moment you stop forcing volume-based order flow tools to predict direction and instead allow them to strictly define the volatility regime and the expected mathematical magnitude of movement, you actually unlock their true statistical edge.
You stop fighting the market's current state and you start sizing your risk precisely to the objective realities of the present moment. And as we look forward, this decoupling is only going to become more critical. I mean, with the increasing dominance of algorithmic trading, zero DTE options, and automated market making, these intraday volatility regimes are likely going to compress and expand faster and more violently than ever before.
Oh, without a doubt.
If you were still relying on a static risk model while the machines are dynamically recalculating volatility every second, you are bringing a knife to a gunfight. That structural discipline is what separates the survivors from the statistics.
It really is.
The Motive Wave Vol regime study we analyzed today ships in the Starter, Pro, and Elite bundles, or as a standalone tool. You can find the full study lineup at wickflow.com.